little sniffles. Oh. We started our series on faith with our goal being living from faith to faith to faith to faith. And if we do that, we enter the rest of God and we receive the joy and the peace of God. And one of the things that can happen when we try to walk in faith is that guilt can enter our mind and just have a heyday with us. And while we know that God can convict us of something wrong, generally guilt is self-imposed, something that we just feel, and it's there to steal away our faith. If we want to save faith, we need to conquer our guilt. I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. As I read for you verses 13 to 23 of Romans chapter 14. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that would cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. To conquer guilt, you've got to first of all remain balanced. See, this is a great passage of Scripture, Romans 14, and I invite you, I encourage you to read the entire chapter of Romans 14 and do some actual careful study on it. Because they're having some argument here over eating meat that was offered to idols, and some people acted like they can do it, and some felt like they just couldn't do it. Some people had faith to realize, well, they're only idols, they're made out of stone and wood, and how can that hurt the meat? So I've got faith to eat it. I don't think it's a problem. But others, they had a weak conscience. They even said, you can't do that. You can't eat the meat. So here's the instruction. If you have the faith, do it. If you don't, leave it alone. Because if you do something thinking it's wrong and believing it's wrong, even if legally it's not wrong, it operates the same way in your soul as if you committed a terrible sin. So we need to just make sure that we're not doing things that go against how we think or what we're thinking. We're always trying to do things that we don't have the faith to do. Why? Because we want to do them. Why? Because we see somebody else doing them. And so we figure, hey, if they're doing, I think I can do it. It's kind of like these guys. Look at this video. If you got it there, Chris. It's coming. I got faith in Chris. It's going to come.
Mr. Delaney's office.
Okay,
hello,
we have
Mr.
no
Delaney.
Picture.
You're not feeling well?
I really need the picture, Chris.
Yes, I can have that ready for you when you'll be set.
Well, maybe we can't show the video. Can you show the video? No. Well, okay, let's all pray. No. It's somewhere in there. If you ever find it, Chris, just wave your hand and I'll show it to you. But we can know one person who gets an idea. And then there's 20. And then when there's 20, then all of a sudden we talk ourselves into being involved because everybody else is doing it, and then I'm going to pay the price. If I give into that, I'm going to pay the price. If I know I shouldn't be doing it, I'm going to be paying the price and feeling guilty and condemned and knowing I shouldn't have done it because God clearly told me not to do it. And you're going to see this video right now. It's right here. See, it's coming. So you got to have faith. I hope.
Oh, hello, Mr. Delaney. If you're not feeling well, I'm sorry. Yes, I can have that ready for you, and you'll be stopping in to pick it up. Oh, you'll stop in tomorrow. And what about the big presentation today at 2 o'clock? Absolutely, I'll have them conference you in from home. Okay. Feel better, Mr. Delaney.
See?
FedEx. Proudly bringing you the FedEx Cup.
Now I know what happens when I'm not here. But you see, someone, God distinctly tells us, don't do this. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes along and says, it's okay. You go ahead. You can come. You can do this. I don't know why that is when someone feels totally right about doing something and someone else just doesn't feel right at all. I can't explain that. But all I know is that I'm not responsible for what someone else thinks and feels. I'm only responsible for me. I've got to do what I believe God is leading me to do. And that's where remaining balanced is so important. We need to allow people the freedom to be led by God, not trying to be Holy Spirit Junior in their life. See, talking somebody into doing something that they don't have peace about doing. Did you hear me? You see, I have a friend, Dale, and he lives down south, and my prayer partner down south, and Dale makes about $5 a month. His job, he has a great job, he works at water, $5 a week, that's what he makes. He got a raise, so he makes $5. And, you know, if I go shopping with Dale, and Dale will say, oh wow, there's that good Wonder Bread, you know, it's the best bread there is, it's $3 a loaf, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And then I go, well, wait a minute, it's only $3, Dale. You know, come on. Well, no, all I can afford is the dollar loaf, Dev, and that's a stretch as it is. No, but Dale, listen, you can sure find $2 somewhere. Come on. You see, now Dale doesn't have peace about it, but I'm trying to convince him this is the best thing for you. Stretch yourself a little, Dale. Spend an extra $2 and get that Wonder loaf of bread. See, you can go shopping with somebody and they just told you that they've been trying to get out of debt or trying to deal with something and something's on sale and you can't be talking them into buying it. And then all of a sudden, Dale picks up his loaf of bread for $1 and then I go, wow, I said, Dale, you talked me into this loaf of Wonder Bread. This is great. I'm going to buy it. And then I go and I buy that Wonder Bread that Dale so desperately wanted to have, but I buy it in front of him and I take it home and I eat it. Do you think I'm going to feel guilty? You better believe I am. You see, you may just have more peace in your life if you don't even buy that loaf of bread in front of them. You wait and you go back and buy yours when they've gone home so you don't tempt them. See, there's so many ways in which we can show an expression of love that we can walk with with people. Now, that doesn't mean that if someone in your home is on a diet, and then I can't eat in front of them. Everybody say balance. Oh, come on, let me hear you. Balance. See, God's practical. And he wants to get into our practical, everyday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. I left Friday out because it's kind of fun sometimes on Friday. No, Friday too! God wants to get into your life. He wants to get into your relationship. He wants to get in your job. He wants to get in your shopping. He wants to get in your everything. He wants you to walk in faith and not do anything that is against your thinking. Because when you do things against your thinking, that's why we mess up our peace and it messes up your joy and then it messes up your faith. Isabel Holland said, guilt is the price we pay willingly for doing what we are going to do anyway. I love what Jesus told Mary Martha at the tomb of Lazarus. He said, did I not tell you? Jesus said to them, did I not tell you, if you would only believe, you will receive the glory of God? If you only believe. Only believe, only believe, only believe. Every moment of every day. We need some signs up around our homes. I saw the neatest sign. It's wooden. I forget where you buy it, but it's made out of wood. It says, believe. Put a sign on your mirror that says, believe. Not a big one, a small one. You still want to see your face, but, you know, especially when you first get up in the morning, you need that sign. Believe. I had to believe God when I got up this morning. I looked at my face. I had a scream. What? Joan came to see what was wrong, and she made me feel good. She screamed too. Ah! You know. Wow. Believe. There's only one Holy Spirit, and He is with me always to provide for me joy, peace, patience, gentleness, comfort. I mean, that just doesn't sound human, does it? You got to believe God. Don't just wait around until you're in desperate trouble and then all of a sudden, okay, now I got to believe God. Whether you know it or not, you're desperate every minute of every day. And one of the most valuable things you can do every morning is you can just say, God, I need you today for everything I say and everything I do and everywhere I go. See, we need in our life, we need balance in our life, not living in guilt all the time. Did I do that right? Am I talking right? And then we move into the, well, I probably shouldn't have. I probably shouldn't have put that timer on for lunch. I probably shouldn't have talked to that person that way. I probably shouldn't have even come to church this morning. I've got so much to do, like golf. If you sit and think all the time, I shouldn't have, you're not going to get anything out of life. You're not going to get anything out of today because you're sitting there thinking, I shouldn't have. You got to be here in faith. Believe. I came. It's what I believe God wanted me to do. I believe I'm going to get something out of today. I believe my life is going to change. I believe, I believe, I believe. How many of you believe God this morning? Amen? Stop letting guilt control your life and live your life in a balanced way. Believe Him. To conquer guilt, you got to remain balanced. And to conquer guilt, you got to reserve judgment. Boy. See, I don't like this passage very much, but I love it at the same time. Look at verse 13. Therefore, let us stop. It's something you can do. Let us stop. That means I'm capable of being able to do this. I can stop passing judgment on one another. I can stop criticizing someone for things that I want them to do. You see, when God speaks for you to do something, He gives you the faith to do it. You see, and for you, it's so right and it's so good, but if we take that thing that God did in us by grace and we get judgment toward other people because they're not doing it, I believe at that point we start losing our faith. You say, wait a minute. I don't understand. You will. You see, the Bible says, be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. Did you know we can give a word at the wrong time and it can condemn somebody instead of encouraging them? You know? Did you know that? I mean, if somebody's definitely got a rotten case of the flu, you know, eyes are red, I mean, they've got a fever, they can't breathe. You know, they're just struggling. They're standing in line at the drugstore. I'm getting some drugs. And you're talking to them, and they're like, you know, blowing their nose and oozing out from places you didn't even know existed. And that's not the time to say, oh, boy, did you get that flu? You know, that flu had tried to get me last week. I just prayed to God. I never got that flu. Where did we lose our compassion? No wonder the world doesn't want anything to do with the church, because we somehow have lost the compassion that God has for people who even have the flu. You think about it, we want our way, we fight for our rights, we tell others what we think they're doing wrong, we always try to make a point, we even sometimes do this at the sacrifice for our ministry, we harbor bitterness and unforgiveness. Church is a great place to be. We believe that we should have our way, and we believe that if we can certainly make a point to everybody else, then they will eventually see it our way and think the way we do. Remember one time, I heard that if you eat half a grapefruit in the morning, it just does so many good things for you. You gain energy, it helps your esophagus, and all these wonderful things that go with that. And so you know what I did? I went out and I bought a whole bunch of grapefruit. I mean, I thought for sure this was the cure for everything. I told Joan and I told the kids, and I cut that grapefruit the night before bed. I got it all ready. It was sitting in the fridge. There was one for me there, one for Joan. I cut it all up, nice little cubes. And next morning I got up, I ate my half of grapefruit, and I set Joan's on the table, continued getting ready, coming to the office. Came out, still a half of grapefruit. Said, wait, Joan, wait a minute. Your grapefruit's still here. Now, why did I say that? I mean, did somebody come in and take it to work or something? I mean, of course, it's still sitting there. She said, my grapefruit? I said, yeah. Your grapefruit? I didn't get a grapefruit, right? Well, no, I got it right for you. Remember, I told you grapefruit gives you energy, helps your metabolism, assists your digestive system. You know, grapefruit, that kind of grapefruit. She said, well, I don't want any grapefruit. I thought it was for you. Said, well, yeah, you do. You want grapefruit because it's good for you. See? Now, here's a verse. Look at this. Verse 22. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Ooh, I love that. Not too many Christians love that verse, but I do. He's saying if you've got a personal preference about something, you go ahead and exercise that, but keep it to yourself. Amen? I don't know, do I say amen to this? Is this a trick or something? It's amazing. As soon as God shows us something, we impose that as a law on everybody else. Hello? I said, as soon as God shows you something, you want to impose that as a law on everybody else. Joan, that's your grapefruit. I don't want grapefruit. Yes, you do. I'm starting to understand that the moment I start imposing what God has spoken to me about on everyone else, I'm really believing that God will never get through to that person about this, so I better make sure I get it done. And at that point, my faith wavers. You understand? Bible college, our neighbors who live next door to us. Well, that's a good statement. Where else would our neighbors live? Boy, I got to work on my grammar sometimes. It was around Christmas time, and our neighbor shared with us a large rendition of Christmas cake and how evil Christmas cake was, and I think he even had scripture to back up his arguments. And I know he had some quotes from Spurgeon in there, but he thought how horrible Christmas cake was, and he explained each fruit and its meaning, how awful it was, and he said how he used to love Christmas cake as a child. I mean, he loved it, and I don't know why, but anyway, he loved it, he ate it, and he ate it, and he would sneak pieces in the night, and he would take some in his lunch, and any time he got his hand on Christmas cake, he would do that. And then in high school, later on in high school, he became convicted. He said it was at one service. He really felt the Lord pressed upon him. You know, do you love Christmas cake more than you love me? And that was it for him. I mean, he said his eating Christmas cake days were gone. He no longer ate Christmas cake. And he was given this whole rendition, and I was just kind of drinking this all in, because, I mean, it was about Christmas cake, and it wasn't about chocolate, so a different story. But it was about Christmas cake, and he said, and he's speaking of his wife, and who was there at the time, and he says, And we are not going to raise our family with Christmas cake. We're not going to have any Christmas cake around our place any time, any month, any year. My kids are not having Christmas cake. And his wife, very quiet, looked at him and said, and looked at me, but my kids are. He looked so stunned, he said, but wait a minute, the Lord spoke very clearly to me, we cannot love Christmas cake. And his wife said, wait a minute, God spoke that to you, he didn't speak that to me. See what happens? If God speaks something to us, we try to put that on everyone else, and God didn't speak it to them, and then it comes on them like a heavy law that brings condemnation, like, oh, I can't do it. I'm doing something wrong. I can't even love Christmas cake. See, there's something behind him saying that he loves Christmas cake that God is dealing with him. Christmas cake's not an issue in my life. Well, you've got to do this. You've got to try this. You gotta get that. You gotta go after this. Go. This changed my life. If someone wants to know what you're doing and they ask you about it, feel free to tell them. You see, in fact, my sharing that story about our neighbors, I mean, it could have just set some people free right now. Because God will take what he's doing in somebody else's life, he will apply it to different people in different ways. And if it happens naturally by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, then it's wonderful, because I'll tell you right now, when the Holy Spirit works in someone because of your life, it sticks and stays with them. That person's conviction will grow and it will mature better than you're forcing your conviction on them and causing them guilt, and then your guilt increases as your faith to let God get it done decreases. Let me let you in on a little secret. There's only one Holy Spirit and it ain't you. Bible says, verse 22, whatever your personal convictions are. I mean, for example, if you're not supposed to drink caffeine, that doesn't mean that nobody on the face of the earth can't drink caffeine. You're not going to go out and pick it with caffeine signs saying, don't drink caffeine, stay away from caffeine. God's going to, you know, do something if you drink caffeine. Maybe God's told you, don't eat chocolate. Doesn't mean nobody else is going to tell me that I can't eat chocolate. I mean, because I like chocolate. Okay. All right, I like my chocolate. I was at the Quest work weekend and we had a chocolate fondue. You should have seen me Tuesday night at the fondue. Anyway, we won't go into there. I left the community cafe this past Tuesday night, and we had a chocolate fondue there, and there was a little container that I went home with full of chocolate, and I've been scooping it out. But you don't need to know that. You see, to conquer guilt, you got to remain balanced, and you got to reserve judgment. Your personal convictions on such matters, keep to yourself. Keep to yourself. Doesn't mean I can't pray for somebody. It doesn't mean I can't pray, God, speak to them about this. Your personal convictions, keep to yourself. In other words, mind your own business. I mean, how many of you have enough business to mind? You don't need to be minding somebody else's anyway. Now, I'll tell you what I think. When God speaks something to us, if you look at verse 23, the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because he is eating not from faith, and everything that he does not come, that everything that does not come from faith is sin. Now, I'll tell you something. My own personal opinion. When God speaks something to us, he gives us the faith to do it. And then for you, it just becomes so right and so good. But then when we take that thing that God gave us by grace and we start getting judgmental toward other people because they're not doing it, we become upset. We become bothered and we're tormented, and I'll tell you what, we lose our joy and we lose our peace and we definitely start losing our faith. Because at that moment we've said, God, you've trusted this in my life. It's between you and me. But now I want everyone else to do it. And at that point, I start saying, God, you can't get it done, so I will get it done. That's not faith. And so verse 23 is worth thinking about. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. What's sin? It is not so much the things we do, but as much as us not having the faith, believing that God can do it or forgive us or deal with it. Let's say I got mad yesterday and I was out of line and I went to bed angry and I slept angry, and the Bible says don't let sun go down in your anger, but I was upset and I kind of didn't let it go, and but I knew it was wrong, and I come to God and I ask him to forgive me for being angry, for being upset, even going to bed angry. And I come to him and I say, God, forgive me for getting angry, for keeping that anger. You see, God will forgive me for my sin, but I need to believe that he does. He can cleanse me from my sin. He can make me just as I never did it. He can remove it as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers my sin no more. Now, if I truly believe that God removes my sin, I have no reason to live in guilt any day of my life, because my sin is God. And when my sin is God, when I believe that God takes my sin and he takes it upon himself and he removes it as far as the east is from the west, when I believe that, I will live a balanced life. And I will not be judging others with my convictions that God has given me. And that's when I conquer the guilt in my life. Let's pray. Some of you are still dragging around sins from 10 years ago. It's time to save your faith, conquer your guilt, and believe God. Maybe you need to let go of that sin, God has, if you've asked him. So you got to quit dragging it around. You don't drag around something that God has spoken to you about, that other people have tried to impose what God spoke to them about. Quit dragging stuff that ain't yours. Live a guilt-free life starting today. Receive this gift because you can. And speak to God today. Maybe you need to confess sin in your life. I don't know. Maybe you need to just tell him where you've gone wrong or what you've done that you knew was not right, that you didn't even have the faith to do it. Maybe for you, it's been the other way around. God has personally spoken to you about something. And you've wanted everyone else to conform to that intimate moment that God spoke to you about something, instead of God getting through to them or dealing with them, maybe totally different than you think. Maybe you need to let go of that today and believe God. Maybe you need to conquer your guilt. Maybe you've been trying to kind of convince other people of buying things or getting involved in something they don't even want to be part of. Or maybe what you've been doing is you've been kind of not eating because somebody's dieting or something like that, and you're not balanced anymore. Get balanced and believe God. And conquer your guilt by saying, God, take away my guilt today. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to remain balanced in who I am and how you created me. Lord, I want those personal, intimate moments. Maybe you need to say to him, I want those personal, intimate moments in which you continue to build my faith, just to stay between me and you, God, as hard as that is, I want them to stay between you and me. And I want to enter your rest today, God. I want to know your joy. I want to know your peace. And I want to have more faith. If you're calling out to him that way today, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just lift your hand. Just lift it up. Just lift it up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands going up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees those hands between you and God. Between you and God. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, sometimes we read things and in your word we hear from you as we read it. Some of the things we don't like because it's kind of like surgery to our soul. And today, Lord, that's kind of like one of those days. But we know, God, we believe that we're here because you brought us here together to learn from your wonderful word. God, help us to be who you created us to be. Lord, help your spirit to work in the hearts of each one of us, but also beyond us. God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be victorious in people's lives. That's our calling, and that's our prayer. And God, may we live lives that are balanced and loving so that people would just want to know you, hungry for you. And God, may we just reserve judgment only for you. Lord, that is our prayer. Not only for this church, but Lord, for your church in general and for the world itself. We pray all of this today to your glory, to your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.